imputation, of substitution, repentance, and redemption. And now we're going to look at reconciliation. Those are big words, but there's two ways you can study the Bible. You can study it textually, and that simply means you take a chapter and you study it verse by verse. That's how we studied the book of Acts. That's how we studied the book of Revelation. Verse by verse, sometimes I'll preach a message where I'll just go through 10 verses, like when we preached on the church at Thessalonica. That's a textual message. You take it all out of that text and go from there. Then there's topical messages. The topic is simply what we've been doing on Wednesday night. We're taking a word and taking every verse in the Bible that has to do with the word to explain it, and that's a topical message. And so we've looked at all those other Bible words, Bible doctrines, and tonight we're going to look at reconciliation. Reconciliation. Not sure I'll get finished. I won't get finished tonight. And next Wednesday night we won't look at doctrine because of the Christmas play. We'll look at something else. Then the next Wednesday night we'll have the New Year's Eve service. So I hope you have a long recall on this one, because June and Dolores, they're going to cop out, leave on December 31st, and so they're going to have to wait until they get back to even think about reconciliation, but I'm mad at them for going. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 14. But you see, they don't care. Verse number 14. I'm just joking, June. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled, there's the word, us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God is in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, you are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now, Father, I pray that you would add your blessing to your word. Lord, you promised that your word would not return unto you void. And so, God, we know that even in the reading, right at this time, something has happened in our hearts. God, it has a cleansing effect, and we thank you for that. Now, God, bless. Have your sweet way. Give me clarity of thought, clarity of speech. I need your power. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Now, I have a watch here, and of course, this isn't the one that was lost. If you would go through my house, let's say you wanted to set your watch. You say, what's this have to do with it? You hold on and you'll see. You go into my bedroom, and my clock in the bedroom, and my wife's in the nursery. I don't know where she's probably turning me off. She hears me all the time. But you go into my bedroom, the clock in the bedroom is set 10 minutes ahead. That's so we'll always be only 10 minutes late when we go anywhere. All right? But it's set 10 minutes ahead. You go into the living room, we have another clock, a battery run clock, and that thing is probably 8 minutes different than the one in the bedroom. You go into our dining room, kitchen there, before we walk out, it's probably about 3 minutes off from the others. And so there's no constant time. So if I wanted to try to set my watch in the bedroom, then go into the living room to check the time, it would be different. I'd have to set it again. And if I wanted to go such and such a place in the kitchen to set it again, I'd have to change it again. What am I saying? There's no standard time in our home. Everybody's room has a different clock. Sometimes the boys' clock, it might be 9 o'clock at night, they have 5:21. because John goes in there and twists it around just to watch it go, you know? So there's no standard. What am I saying? If I want to set my watch what I think is the proper time, I call 363-1212 because I believe that's the standard time. And when I call 363-1212, which is supposed to be the standard time for our fair city of Fairmont, then I can reconcile my watch with that time. Now, if I go into the bedroom and try to reconcile my watch, there's no standard in the bedroom, I can't reconcile it. If I go into the living room and try to reconcile my watch, I can't do it there either. If I go in the kitchen, I can't do it, so I have to call a standard and get something that's absolute, quote unquote, unchangeable. Well, that's what reconciliation means. Reconciliation simply means when I reconcile my watch to standard time, it's simply bringing my watch's time into conformity to a standard. Now, if all of us had watches and there was no standard time, nothing we could go by, then you could have 5 o'clock on your watch, I could have 10 o'clock. And it would just be what? Chaos. But there has to be a standard. And when we talk about reconciliation, we're talking about setting something to a standard. Now, every month, my wife sits down and reconciles our bank book with the bank statement. The bank is the standard. If they say you have $350, now they're not without reproach. They can make mistakes. But every once in a while, you had better reconcile your checkbook with the bank statement, or you may find your $20 off when a year passes by. Now, why? Because we're all prone to error, and computers aren't supposed to make mistakes, and sometimes they never make mistakes. The people who program them wrong sometimes. And so, what am I saying? You have a standard at the bank. You can check your checking account out with that standard. And so, reconciliation points to a reckoning. There has to be a standard to go by. Now, reconciliation, if you want a dictionary definition, Bible definition, is to cause to conform to a standard, to be adjusted to a specified standard. Now, what is reconciliation when it comes to man? Well, man is out of step with God. What happened? According to the Word of God, the world, the entire world's out of balance. I told you Sunday night that this world has gone plumb cuckoo. Right? It has gone plumb cuckoo. And so this world is out of standard with God. It's out of conformity with God. And so this whole entire world needed to be reconciled. Now turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And we'll begin in verse number 6. God tells us with a graphic illustration that the whole world is cuckoo. How many of you are warm? Are you all comfortable? I'm pretty warm up here. Bob, how about checking that thermostat? I think we have it jacked up pretty high for downstairs, but it'll all be warm downstairs too. All right, you might check with them if they're not busy. Romans chapter 5, verse number 6. Look at that if you would. It says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." Now, we have a graphic illustration of how man is out of sync with God. They're not conformed to God. First of all, it says we're without strength, and that simply means that we're weak and we can't conform to the strength that God has. Secondly, the Bible says there in verse number 6 that we're ungodly. Now, both of those words, or both of those combination of words, without strength, ungodly, simply mean that man does not conform to God's standard. We're not strong enough, and we're ungodly. Now, ungodly simply means there's an absence of God. That's what ungodly means. And so every man is without strength and ungodly. Now, thirdly, it says there in Romans chapter 5, verse number 7 and 8, look at it if you would, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die." Verse number 8, "But God committeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Thirdly, the Bible says not only are we in our own weakness without strength, not able to make it up to God, and secondly, ungodly, that means there's a definite absence of God in our life, but thirdly, the Bible says we're sinners. And simply, that means rebels. That means we tend to, on purpose now, not conform to God. Now that's what the Bible teaches. We're sinners. We're rebels. It goes on to say that we practice sin here, and it simply means that we have a nature which controls us, and that nature produces fruit. And we're very happy in that fruit that that nature produces because we are out of sync with God. Now look at Romans chapter 5, verse number 9. It says, much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. There's another thing. Not only are we without strength, we're ungodly. Now this is in the sin nature, without the grace of God. Not only are we sinners or rebels, the fourth thing is, we're all under wrath. We deserve God's wrath, and so we're objects of divine wrath. And verse number 10 sort of clinches it all up. Look what it says. For if when we were enemies, and that's what we're talking about. See, there's two sides here. There's God and there's man. Now, these sides have to be reconciled. Now, here's what man does. Man tries to pull God down to his standard. See, that's not proper reconciliation. Because God is absolute, God is perfect, God is just, God is holy. God doesn't change. The Bible says he never changes. Did you hear me? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is unalterable. But man in religion pulls God down to what he thinks he ought to be, and he sets his own standard. But God has a standard, and the ministry of reconciliation, or to be reconciled, simply means God has provided a way that we can reach his standard. That's what it means. That's reconciliation. God is the standard by which he tests man. He is the standard. He's unalterable, unchangeable. Man has fallen from God. That's the reason we need reconciliation. In Romans 3:23, we have come short. That means we don't make the mark. We don't meet God's standard. Now, you can work all your life and be a goody-two-shoe. You can do everything but you'll never meet God's standards that way. It's good to be good, but goodness won't get you to heaven. Not your own goodness, because you need to be reconciled. Now, I heard about a place. I read this other day. It's an amusing story, because it shows how people do in this matter of religion, reconciliation. Everybody has their own standard. I heard about a factory that every morning telephoned a bureau for the time and set their clocks to conform to the information when they telephoned that bureau. Now, when the factory's noon whistle blew, the head of the bureau they telephoned every morning would change his clock to conform to the noon whistle. And so both of them were just setting their time by each other. That's how man does. We look at each other and say, well, I'm doing all right because so-and-so over there is not quite up to par with me. Or I'm not doing as well because so-and-so is maybe doing more than me. That's not our standard. Our standard is Christ. And reconciliation makes us able to match God's standards. Endless confusion when you try to match standards with man. Now, man has flexible standards. But we have a need of reconciliation. And with flexible standards, and here's what you have when you have flexible standards. Now I'm talking about standards as far as modesty or dress or prayer. I'm talking about standards of holiness that God has set for us to enter into heaven. The Bible says without holiness you'll never see God. You have to have it. But how do you get it? Well, you can't earn it. It's free. It's by grace. Now, what I'm talking about is this. When man has no standard, then man can do what he wants. The liberals of today have a philosophy, and that's all they have because they have no Bible in it. But they have a philosophy that as long as we live good and do good and preach a social gospel, This man named Jesus Christ died on the cross 2,000 years ago, but he was just a man, maybe a prophet, maybe he was anointed of God, and he died on the cross to set an example. That's what they say. That's called the martyr. He's the martyr. He's our example. And when he died on the cross, he set an example that we ought to be willing to die for him. Now, every religion in this world has some sort of martyr syndrome. Do you know the kamikaze pilots in Japan died as kamikaze pilots? Because that was part of their religion. And they thought they were purchasing themselves a better inheritance in what they call heaven. Did you know that? That's religion. Do you know a lot of your Eastern Oriental religions are tied up with that kind of thing? And so that's their standard, but God has a standard. God never changes, and man is not right with God until man meets God's standards. No matter how many pats on the back you get, no matter how good you might think you are, no matter, even if you're a humble person, and people come by and say, "Boy, you're a good religious man," and maybe it doesn't even go to your head, but you think, "Well, if they think so, I'm all right with God." Their thoughts do not make any difference. It's what God thinks.
That's right.
And the ministry of reconciliation, that's what we're going to look at. Now, I want to mention some things about it. First of all, reconciliation. Now, get me now. Reconciliation is conformity to God's standards. Now, we can't conform ourselves. So, how did it happen? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 19. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 19. The first thing I want to say is God has reconciled the world unto himself. That's what the Bible teaches. We have nothing to do with this reconciliation. God has reconciled the world. Now, when we talk about world, we're talking about more than just an individual. We're talking about the entire earth as it has to do with mankind. We're not talking about the ground. We're not talking about dirt, and we're not talking about rocks and mountains, hills. When we say world, we're talking about the cosmos. The organized man of this world without Christ, the world. It says here in 2 Corinthians 5:19, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. So, God has reconciled the world unto himself by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's talking about the people of the world. John 3:16, for God so loved the what? World, that he gave his only begotten Son. But then it narrows it down, because not the entire world is saved because of that. Only those who come to Christ in simple childlike faith. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Salvation is provided for everyone, but the only ones that get saved are the whosoever's that will come to Christ and believe what God has said.
Amen.
You see, liberals say, well, when we die, since God is a God of love, then when everybody dies, whether they reject Christ or accept Christ, in the end, everyone's going to end up in heaven. That's not true. And I know a lot of folks that cling to that hope. I'm just as good as so-and-so. They may go to church, but I can have my religion right here at home. You can have religion anywhere, but we're talking about Christianity here. We're talking about the reconciliation God has provided through Christ. Now, the Bible teaches that the world, and all of us, have been a part of the world. The Bible teaches that we're weak. That's what Romans chapter 5 is talking about. That we're ungodly, that we're sinners, that we're enemies of God, that we're under the wrath of God. That's the world system. What does it mean? Well, it doesn't mean that all men will be saved, or it doesn't mean that all men will ultimately be saved, but it simply means this, that when the Lord Jesus Christ laid down his life, he laid down the foundation for God to reach out and make it possible for man to be saved. That's what he did in Christ. The cross made it possible for man to be saved. And so God has reconciled the world unto himself. He made me savable. He made you savable. Now, the plain fact is, Adam and Eve, they had face-to-face fellowship with God. You say, well, the Bible says no man has seen God. They had face-to-face fellowship with the Word of God. The Jehovah of the Old Testament is the Jesus Christ of the New. God had a body in the Old Testament. He walked with Adam and Eve. Joshua saw him. He was the captain of the Lord's host. In the Old Testament, those are called, theologically, Christophanies, the appearance of Christ in the Old Testament. He had a body. The Bible says, no man has seen God. That means God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, in all of His effulgent glory, and no man, I believe, will ever see that God. Because God is a Spirit. But the expression of God is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ had a body in the Old Testament, but then He took on a human body. That's what Christmas is all about, the virgin birth. He took on a human body. And Jesus came. So because Adam and Eve had fallen out of fellowship with God, Jesus came to reconcile man and God. Now here's the whole story. I think we have actors up here, Chad and Nathan and Greg. Yeah, me. That's it. Would you get right up here for just a second? Very simple. Very simple. Nathan, I'm going to stereotype you. You stand right there. And Greg, you face that way. And Chad, you face this way. All right? Chad is God. All right? Greg is man. Now, when God created man, I've showed you this once before. When God created man, they were face to face. They could walk in fellowship. All right? But when man sinned, here's what happened. You're the man, right? All right? When man sinned, he turned from God. Now, because God can't look on sin, God turned from man. All right? This is sin. See? You just grab his shoulder. See? Now, Jesus died and took sin on his shoulder. Turn around. Get on his shoulder. That's, hey, God was in Christ reconciling the world, so the sin has to be on your shoulder now. All right? And then, because Jesus died, sin was taken care of. He can sit down. Sin's out of the picture. And when Jesus died, God turned back to man. All right? That is the ministry that Jesus did in reconciliation. Now, but this still isn't right, is it? If this man never turns back to God, he'll go to hell. And so when a man gets saved, he turns back to God. That's the way man was intended to be, right? Face to face with God. And that's the ministry of reconciliation. Thank you. Let's give him a hand. Tell you what, that center was good. I know that. Adam and Eve was created with face to face fellowship with God, but Adam turned from God. Man turned first. God had to turn. Reconciliation provided God turned back and provided man a chance to turn back to God. That's all it means. Now, secondly, and with this I'll finish, there is not only a provision for salvation, but when man turned back to God, the Bible says there's a reconciliation of the individual to God. God made his move first, and man has an opportunity to make his move. That's what soul winning is all about. We'll look at that in 3 weeks, all right? Remember all this, okay? There is a reconciliation of the individual with God. Look at Romans chapter, or excuse me, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 20. Now first it says God was in Christ, what? Reconciling the world unto himself. So Jesus Christ provided reconciliation for the whole world. He reconciled God to the world. But the Bible says in verse number 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, and here's the plea of Paul, be ye reconciled to God. And so reconciliation for the entire world was provided when Jesus Christ hung on the cross, he paid for sin, he set the standard. Remember the watch? He is the standard. Nobody can enter heaven without God's holiness. And so the only way you can receive God's holiness is to be reconciled to God. And that's to get saved. And at the moment Greg, or excuse me, Greg, you were the sinner. At the moment Greg turned around, went back to God, he got saved, and he received Christ's righteousness. And that's how a man gains the holiness of God. Listen, your holiness is full of holes. And somebody who tries to live right to make it to heaven, they're a spotted leper, the Bible says. You can't change your own spots. Only God can transform you. And so reconciliation on God's part was at the cross. Reconciliation on man's part is when a man gets saved. He comes back to the standard God set. Who is our measuring stick? It's not us. It's Christ. All right, next week, 3 weeks from tonight, and June and Dolores, you'll have to wait. And Jane, you'll have to wait. All right? But 3 weeks, we're going to look at the scriptural teaching on the basis by which the world was reconciled to God and the basis by which sinners can individually be reconciled to God through the scripture. And then we're going to look at the message that we have of reconciliation. All right? With every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The ministry of reconciliation. The ministry of reconciliation. We all have it. But aren't you glad that God loved us and he sent his son to die for us, and by him dying on the cross, he gave us a chance to be savable. And aren't you glad God provided the way that we can turn back to God and be reconciled to God through Christ? Hey, we gain the holiness of God. The basis of heaven is meeting God's standard of holiness, and the only way you can meet that is through the cross, through the Lord Jesus, being reconciled to God. And God provided that for you. With every head bowed and eye closed, first of all, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. If you're like that here tonight, would you raise your hand with every head bowed and eye closed? Let me pray.